goal is we make another trip around the sun in this solar system and take a look at some of our southern New Mexico Tia Country VIP crew babies for today. And there are a lot of them. I don't know why February 17th is quite the baby day, apparently. But I'm on board. We want to say a big happy birthday going out to Denisha Quintana, Diane Dimmock, Emily Chaddock, LaRoy Feliz, Salvador Urena, all celebrating a birthday right here in the country. So if you run into them today, you tell them, dang, there's a whole bunch of you guys. The famous people that will be celebrating birthdays today are Brian White, a country singer, turns 43 years old today. Singer-songwriter Ed Sheeran turns 26 years old today, such a baby. Lou Diamond Phillips, he was here a few years ago with the Las Cruces Country, or the Las Cruces International Film Festival, the show from the Bamba, and more, turns 55 years old today. Little Dory. It was so funny. We took him out to dinner after the International Film Festival over at Park Room. Delicious, of course. We were like, take him to one of the nicest places we got. This Diamond Phillips is not like green chili. I know, it's blasphemous here in New Mexico, but he doesn't like green chili, which is kind of hard because if you've ever been to Wisconsin, you know this is kind of a feature. It was a hilarious night, though. He did like the Wisconsin beer. Joseph Gordon-Levitt turned 36 years old today. I'm still a fan of their Rock of the Sun. I actually watched it over on Netflix the other day. He's done a whole bunch of
Well, good morning. Sorry, there's a little technical difficulty this morning. Probably, though, the greatest news conference within the context of everything that's going on now, probably the greatest news conference I have ever seen. Donald Trump, it was absolutely surreal, totally confident, and absolutely confident in the midst of this crazy 100% all the time, 24/7, 365 attack by the media. And so I wanted to collect, I couldn't collect all the stories if I wanted to that were negative towards Trump. But here's one right here. And here's this lady that used to live with Keith Olbermann. I don't think she does anymore, but this lady's name is, I'm sure you'll know who she is. MSNBC's Katie Turr, does this White House have any credibility left? How long have these guys been in office, you know? Is it not quite a month? And MSNBC is an absolute joke of a station, of a... You know, and so you've got Katie Turr, who's been after Obama or after Trump since the day he was born, getting up 20 days, 30 days into his administration, say, do they have any credibility left? The level of negativity and cynicism towards this White House, towards Trump, is surreal. It's epic. It's never been equaled. And yet Trump comes out and he throws basically a perfect game of a news conference. Here's a little bit from Trump.
Inherited many problems across government and across the economy. To be honest, I inherited a mess. It's a mess. At home and abroad, a mess. Jobs are pouring out of the country. You see what's going on with all of the companies leaving our country, going to Mexico and other places. Low pay, low wages, mass instability overseas, no matter where you look. The Middle East, a disaster. North Korea, we'll take care of it, folks. We're going to take care of it all. I just want to let you know, I inherited a mess.
All right, that's just one. I mean, I don't think that people could really believe what was going on with the news conference, because Trump was being left for roadkill. Now, Trump has more ability than any of these newscasters. He's got a level of insight into media. And into the news cycle how to present himself, how to answer that we've never seen before. I mean, I really think the guy's a genius when it comes to this. Here's a little bit more. Press should be ashamed of themselves for publishing classified leaks. And this is from yesterday's news conference that I think really reset the whole thing. That the, you know, with Katie Turd getting up there, and saying, do they have any credibility left? You used up all your credibility in less than a month. See how sick these people are. They would like to see President Trump pour gasoline over his own head and light himself on fire on national TV. But that wouldn't even satisfy him. These people are so sick. Here we go.
You were cut off pretty violently at our last news conference. Mike Flynn is a fine person, and I asked for his resignation. He respectfully gave it. He is a man who there was a certain amount of information given to Vice President Pence, who's with us today, and I was not happy with the way that information was given. He didn't have to do that because what he did wasn't wrong. What he did in terms of the information he saw, what was wrong was the way that other people, including yourselves in this room, were given that information. Because that was classified information. It was given. That's the real problem. And, you know, you can talk all you want about Russia, which was all a, you know, fake news fabricated deal to try and make up for the loss of the Democrats, and the press plays right into it. In fact, I saw a couple of the people that were supposedly involved with all of this, but they know nothing about it. They weren't in Russia. They never made a phone call to Russia. They never received a phone call. It's all fake news. It's all fake news. The nice thing is I see it starting to turn where people are now looking at the illegal. All right, I think it's very important. The illegal giving out classified information. It was, and let me just tell you, it was given out like so much. I'll give you an example. I called, as you know, Mexico. It was a very, very confidential classified call, but I called Mexico. And in calling Mexico, I figured, oh, well, that's, I spoke to the president of Mexico, had a good call. All of a sudden, it's out for the world to see. It's supposed to be secret. It's supposed to be either confidential or classified in that case. Same thing with Australia. All of a sudden, people are finding out exactly what took place. The same thing happened with respect to General Flynn. Everybody saw this. And I'm saying, the first thing I thought of when I heard about it is, how does the press get this information that's classified? How do they do it? You know why? Because it's an illegal process. And the press should be ashamed of themselves. But more importantly, the people that gave out the information to the press should be ashamed of themselves. Really ashamed. Yes, go ahead.
Those are just a few minutes. I've got a few more for you coming up here. And I also have some weather for you. Let's go to weather. And my computer's real slow today. We've been doing some building changes around here, so I do apologize for starting late today. 6:34, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, AM 1455, 23, 1415. We'll be right back. Thank you. Okay, so we're talking about this news conference that was done by Trump. It was a masterpiece. A masterpiece of grabbing the narrative and fighting back and letting everybody know, that it is not game over, that people like MSNBC's Katie Turd is not correct when she says, does this White House have any credibility left? You know, it's just, it is sickening to be, to see these people who've made their money and made their fame in this extraordinarily cynical media machine, and they just feed on the carcasses of the fallen. And to get up and think they're going to take down Trump, to see him pull off this news conference was just jaw-dropping. I've never seen it done better. And so here's another clip.
He is a man who, there was a certain amount of information given to Vice President Pence, who's with us today, and I was not happy with the way that information was given. He didn't have to do that because what he did wasn't wrong. What he did in terms of the information he saw, what was wrong was the way that other people, including yourselves in this room, were given that information. Because that was classified information, it was given illegally. That's the real problem. And, you know, you can talk all you want about Russia, which was all a, you know, fake news fabricated deal to try and make up for the loss of the Democrats, and the press plays right into it. In fact, I saw a couple of the people that were supposedly involved with all of this, but they know nothing about it. They weren't in Russia. They never made a phone call to Russia. They never received a phone call. It's all fake news. It's all fake news. The nice thing is I see it starting to turn where people are now looking at the illegal, all right, I think it's very important, the illegal giving out classified information.
All right, so now here is a little bit of pushback from the press during the news conference, and we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, good morning. This is Martin, or Marty.
Marty, hey, what's up, Marty? Hope you're well. What's going on? What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I was an early Cruz supporter, and I wanted to thank you for your push to get Trump elected. I think Trump, it's like you said, you use the term jaw-dropping.
Yeah.
I was listening to that via the Rush Limbaugh show yesterday, that press conference, and I literally, my mouth dropped open. I have never heard a Republican president, not even Reagan, was taken on the press like this. And this guy is bringing a gun to a knife fight, so to speak.
Yeah, it's a, you
he's
know,
not messing around. I mean, he's just taking these guys right on.
Marty.
And remember these.
Marty,
yes, sir.
Marty, I just got a kick out of this. The fact that the media is like they're like debutantes. They're the most important people in the world. They're the ones whose opinion you can't set aside. They're the ones who can't be insulted. They're the ones that no matter how they act, they have to be worshipped and everything. And he's just pushing them out of the way and laughing in their face.
If you look at their backgrounds, most of the journalists, they were educated. First of all, they came from very upper middle class backgrounds. And they've had a very, very nice, cushy life. They are not blue-collar working class.
No.
People and their dads and their grandfathers, right? They come from money. And then they go to the finest universities and they come out. You know, Columbia, we lost Columbia 50 years ago. That seems to be the highest journalist graduating school in the nation.
And they supposedly have the top journalist school there. But, Marty, I mean, you could almost bet somebody who comes out of that school is in terms of delivering good quality news product is absolute trash.
You're making my point. That's exactly where I was going with that. And they're coming out of there and they don't have a view of the real world, of those of us who are down in the trenches day after day, paying our bills, trying to make that credit card payment, trying to get the van fixed so that the wife and kids can, you know, get from point A to point B. They're not there. And Trump seems to, even though Trump's a billionaire, he seems to get it.
You know what?
We're trying to struggle along on $52,000 a year.
Marty, you know, Trump has got, he's connected somehow, some way, even though he's, like you say, he's a billionaire. He's been, you know, rich all his life. And he's got, so, you know, do you remember in the old days how we would react to stuff? When we were growing up and it was from the gut and you didn't have to check it. And, you know, everybody wasn't racist, but everybody had an American gut reaction. And some people were farther to the right or farther to the left, but there was an American reaction. And the school system and the media and Hollywood has wiped that out from us, those natural instincts.
But Trump still got it, and that's why I called you, getting back, circling around on my main point. I want to thank you because I was not a Trump supporter, and now that he's been in for about a month, like I really like this guy. I've been waiting for a Republican person in power, specifically a president, to take on this press. I've been waiting, waiting for decades. And we finally got one. I mean, Bush was a good man. He really was. He was a good man. But he would just sit there and the press would run all over
him. You know what?
Never say a word.
You know what? Bush never defended himself, which maybe there's some value to that. But then he didn't defend the people that were around him. If somebody came up after 9/11 and said, you know, I used to be a liberal, but now I want to be on your side, Bush wouldn't person defense. He wouldn't praise him. You know, and I'm just like, what is wrong with this guy? Doesn't he understand that this person crossed the ocean to be on your side of the issues? And now you're not going to give him, you're the president, you're most powerful, most famous person in the world. You're not going to give this guy a little bit of coverage. So who would you rather be friends with? I'll just ask you a general question. Donald Trump or Barack Obama?
Oh, Donald Trump.
Do you have any doubt?
Day of the week.
Do you have any doubt that if you were friends with Donald Trump, that he would be loyal, that he would speak highly for you, that he would help you if you were down and out, that he would have a joke if he ran into you and you were feeling bad? But what would Obama have? He would have an insult. He would ignore you. He would pretend to be your buddy. He'd stab you in the back. He'd come up and say something politically correct. You know?
Yeah, I'll take that a step further. If I was being judged and the judge had the power of life and death over me because I'd done something really bad, I'd rather have Trump any day being that judge and showing the mercy than Obama. I think Obama would take you out in a heartbeat. I don't think that guy has much of a conscience.
He doesn't have a conscience. He doesn't have a heart. I mean, what kind of a person, you know, he spends his entire life being a community organizer when he's not in office to be president. As soon as his job's over, he moves across the street and organizes the opposition. That's the real story going on here. And all of these media people, these reporters, so-called reporters, are foot soldiers. They're useful idiots, as they used to say, the people that used to support the Soviet Union before it collapsed on itself. And that's the real story. Nobody, this is absolutely crazy. We've gone through 8 years of straight suffering under this clown, and now the clown moves across the street and opens a clown college and starts attacking the president.
And you used the word decorum, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
The Republicans have always gone silently into the night like Bush did. Bush said, I just want to get back to my ranch in Texas and cut some brush. And they don't stay involved. And here's a... You know, whether it's Bill Clinton or whether it's now it's Barack Obama, they stay right there on the front lines, man.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Marty, I got to take a break. Anything else?
No, sir. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. All right, folks. And I think that makes my point. You see this guy get up there and defend his ideas and his position, and you see the heart that he has, and he's willing to stand up. I mean, you know, he just took it over. He took everything over. It was, and here is his response to, oh no, here is Jake Tapper's response. Jake Tapper's another Katie turd because Jake Tapper, all of these people will tell you how important it is to have a free and independent press. And so that when Donald Trump attacks them, how dangerous it is. But what they forget to tell you is the free and Open Press that we used to have doesn't exist anymore. These people are living in a Marxist bubble. And Jake Tapper is good when he's good. When he's bad, he's terrible. Here we go.
He talked about Jim Acosta more than he talked about Alexander Acosta. He talked about Hillary Clinton more than he talked about Alexander Acosta. He spent the first part of his remarks talking about accomplishments that he thought the media, the fake media, whatever he wants to call us, were not paying enough attention to. But then instead of focusing on these accomplishments and offering an optimistic, positive view of what he's doing for this country, it was an airing of grievances. It was Festivus. It was complaints about the media. At one point, he said the leak.
Well, this what he is accusing Trump of is exactly what he's doing right now. None of these media people ever admit they're wrong, even when they get caught colluding with Hillary Clinton. And instead of getting fired, they end up getting hired at New York Times.
Leaks were real, but the news is fake, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever. He said things that were not true. Peter Alexander from NBC pointed out one of them when he said he had the biggest electoral victory win since Ronald Reagan. That's not true. Clinton, Obama, George H.W. Bush, all were bigger. But moving on to that, if you are a soldier in harm's way right now, if you are a hungry child in Appalachia or the inner city, if you are an unemployed worker in a hollow shell of a steel town, that's not a president who seemed rather focused on your particular needs and wants. That's a president focused on his bad press.
So wait a minute. So Jake Tapper is going to suddenly come out of nowhere, and he's going to tell the president what his press conference should have been about and how these people are going to react. This is why the press has lost so much credibility. They want to have an unfettered right and ability to attack people. If those people stand up for themselves and push back, the press throws a tantrum. They want to be able to destroy people with impunity. And if that doesn't work out, they fall on the ground crying. I've never seen a worse group of people in my life. It's terrible.
It was unhinged. It was wild. And I can't believe that there are Republicans and on Capitol Hill and in the White House who don't understand that might play well with the 44% of the population that voted for the president. But a lot of Americans are going to watch that press conference and think, that guy is not focused on me. I don't even know what he's focused on.
How is that? I listened to the whole thing. How is it unhinged? How exactly was that unhinged? I have no idea. These guys are so caught up in their recently historic ability to control everything and up to the point of life and death over the political scene and everything, and their worship and their incestuous relationship with President Obama. Now that as Bill Shakespeare used to say, now that the worm has turned, they don't have any answers. How about this, Mr. and Mrs. Agent of the Press, Mr. and Mrs. So-called Journalist? Why don't you just do your damn job and forget about trying to control everything? And why don't you report on what's going out there instead of making yourself the whole purpose of life in America? We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, 650, 651. Hey, it's Kelly.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Kelly? Man, I can't believe the Republicans' continual attack on the press. You know, you don't have to listen to CNN. You guys have Fox. He slams BBC. I mean, my God, you don't have to listen to someone you think's giving out fake news. They've only been in the business for 30 or 35, 40 years. But, you know, I believe him. The man's unhinged. My God, you guys just don't want to admit it. I don't listen very often. Do liberals call anymore to your show, or is it just all of you guys patting each other on the back? Because it's scary. It's scary to watch news conferences like that. And then to have people out there that really think he's wonderful, it's just amazing to me. But there's lots of news. You don't have to listen to CNN. You know, they have a responsibility. I guess you would like it to be like Putin and have Donald Trump only let the press
people
that will give good stories.
I'm on the air. We got Kathy on the air. Thank you for calling in, Kathy. Typical Kathy, you drive by commentary. I'm sitting there listening to her. She calls up, starts ranting about Trump, how crazy Trump is, how unhinged, wants to know if any liberals ever call into the show. How surreal it is. You don't have to listen to CNN. And then I look down at the clock because I'm waiting for her to take a breath, of course. And I'm looking at the clock and I realize we're coming back on the air. So I say, we're on the air. And so she hangs up. So, typical. What do I say to Kathy? Kathy, I'm sorry your candidate didn't make it. There's a huge problem out there in America right now, and you can blame it all on the Republicans if you want. Knowing you, you don't blame it on the Republicans, just the Republicans. I'm sure you're blaming it on the Democrats too. But this idea that Trump is unhinged, is it unhinged to get up and defend yourself? What exactly is going on in the mind of a liberal person who says the most important thing is that my viewpoint get out there? The most important thing is that my narrative get established as a fact. The most important thing is that you respect me and my job, and if you don't, then you need to die and get buried in an unmarked grave. What kind of a person, as a liberal, wants that? Because there's some liberals who really don't want that. There's some liberals who the people who listen to the show that are liberal, that are Democrats, who are really probably to the most, for the most part, are more moderate liberals, understand that there is an ebb and flow to history. And sometimes you're on top, sometimes you're on the bottom. Sometimes you're on the crest of the wave, sometimes you're looking at the coral reef below. Sometimes you're the insect, sometimes you're the windshield. Only a liberal thinks they should win all the time. Only a liberal thinks only their opinion is true, that their opinion is facts. And that's why liberals want to shut down free speech, because they own the truth, right? Now, liberalism has only been around, what, 150 years, 200 years or whatever. So before that, before 200 years ago, 150 years ago, truth didn't exist. But they want to come in and they want to totally discredit Donald Trump. And if it means constant, endless protesting and subterfuge, if it means taking classified information and spreading it around the world to discredit the president, it's worth it. Now, what does the left want? What is going to be the outcome? It's the same thing I would ask you for Harry Reid or Nancy Pelosi. You're fighting against the right. You're fighting against traditional America. You're doing it to such an extent, it's absolutely surreal. You're fighting tooth and nail. It's, you know, it's a moment by moment fight, day by day. Do you even know what you're fighting for? Do you even have any idea of what the world would look like if you got your way? And we do have a phone call. But do you have any idea if your ideas were established, what a prison we'd all be living in? Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Tom.
Yeah, Tom, I just got a minute here. Go ahead.
Okay, they're saying they're supposed to be the one with all the heart and everything like that. the liberals and the socialists, but they're the one out in the they're the ones out in the street acting like wild animals, breaking things and hurting people, running down Trump supporters. You know, these people are barbaric.
Yeah, they're barbaric.
They say we're the bad guys with the Nazis and everything.
What they want to do is tear the heart out of America and bury it and then urinate on the grave and say, now the world's a better place. These people are sick. They're out of their minds. They need prayer.
I'm sure you're right, Kelly. Have a good day.
Thanks, Tom. You too. I mean, look, this is one challenge I'd give to you. In a polite, you know, conservative way, give these people your opinion and tell them exactly in detail while they're wrong. If they're like Kathy, where they want to walk up to you and just give their opinion and then hang up if anybody is listening in. I didn't mean to put Kathy on the air. It's just that if somebody calls up and is going into a tirade and the show starts, I either have to hang up on them or put them on the air. I put her on the air. She immediately hangs up. Kathy, you should be ashamed of yourself. You really should be. People who disagree with you are not evil, and they might be a hell of a lot smarter and more educated than you. 659, we'll be right back. TGIF 706. Yeah, so anyway, where was I? So we get a phone call from Kathy, who I actually enjoyed talking to, Kathy. I know a lot of people complain about her voice, that it is the high-pitched voice of craziness. But Kathy's a nice person. I enjoy listening to other people who disagree. I've always enjoyed listening to people who had different ideas than me. And liberals don't. They want it shut down. They consider it, if a liberal could shut off all of the oppositional statements and ideas, they think they'd be making the world a better place. That's what they consider to be evolution, those evolutionists. So, and speaking of which, how much time have you spent studying evolution? And I sometimes on the weekends will pick a science topic and go to YouTube, and I'll find a nice long lecture on it, or this video presentation will play it. And most of the people who defend evolution, and probably most people who are opposed to it, don't really know anything about it. The average scientist doesn't work in biology. The ones who do work in biology are probably not highly trained in evolution. The vast majority of people who are scientists, therefore, in my opinion, don't know any more about evolutionary theory than a high school biology teacher. There's some serious problems with evolution, some of which appear to be insurmountable, but in any event. So Kathy calls up and goes into this rant, and fine, I'll listen to your rant, but you don't have to insult people. You don't have to claim that people who disagree. This is what I don't understand. The liberal position of I am the state of the art. I am evolved. I have achieved enlightenment. Anybody who disagrees with me is either ignorant, uneducated, or crazy. And that is the default position of liberal people. You got to have a real, what do they call it? Chutzpah, stones, cojones. You got to have stones to think that. The number of topics that the average far lefty will get into and fight and debate over, which they haven't spent 5 seconds studying, is stunning to me. And maybe, you know, that might be human nature in general, but I have never seen it as such. I've never seen more of that type of thing than I do now. So we'll get into this a little bit later. There is a storm coming into Los Angeles that is epic, that is going to probably be the greatest storm event for decades in Los Angeles. So I did enjoy the news conference. I enjoy it when people stand up for themselves. I enjoy seeing that. I enjoy it when a bully gets punched in the nose. I like it when people stand up and try to change the narrative and at least challenge your thinking. We do have another call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Hello? You are on the air. I'm looking to see if I pushed all my buttons here. Call back. I cannot hear you. It could be on my end, but call back. There is, when you call in, there's noise. For some reason, there was something happened in the board here. There's some sort of a connection between here and next door. Now I'm seeing, you know what it might have been? I was queuing up some of these clips on some of these weather clips on Southern California. And so that they could, sometimes people call up and they hear something in the background. If you call up and there's something playing on the air, you're going to hear that when you call up. It's just the way it is. I don't have a call screener. So anyway, there is. You know, liberals are either right. Let me ask you this. If the average liberal figured out that what they believed wasn't actually true, what would they do? Because I think with a certain level of far leftism comes also a certain amount of megalomania. I mean, there seems to be seeded into far leftism this idea that I can't be wrong. the things that I believe can't possibly. And, so, and that's why people see liberalism as not just a religious, but a very dangerous and pernicious and, dare I say, evil cult. You know, the same cult that created the USSR in China and killed 200 million people without apology. That same set of ideas is active in American leftism and any other leftism, because that's the stuff it's made out of. So, but anyway, was talking about for just a second. There's a couple of events in the history of evolution of the planet's history that if you took them and laid them down on kind of a timeline or kind of a, you know, creation versus evolution, which I guess are the two games in town, you would find that they're basically coextensive. There's this, what would appear to be a creation event. There is what would seem to be a creation event. And then there is this extinction event. And so there is, and I'll just mention this to you. I don't want to do a whole big segment on it because I don't know how interested people are in the topic, but it is funny that there's a whole bunch of animals that suddenly die. And to the left has claimed that it's asteroids, that it's volcanic flooding, that there's all kinds of different explanations. And then there's this creation event that the left or the evolutionists believe in as accept, but everything just seems to appear at once in the fossil record. Doesn't appear to be any transitional species in between. They just shows up. And you could say that's a creation event. I mean, of course, the people who are scientists in this area are the astute, and they're, you know, using facts and stuff, or misusing facts, I guess, would be the argument. But it is kind of interesting to get into. You might want to one of these days go on YouTube like I do on the weekend sometimes when you have a little, maybe while you're doing a project, play it in the background. But there's some fascinating topics on science. All right, let's take a little break here and reload, and we'll come back and talk about the news conference a little bit more, and I'll give you some headlines. And here's Stairway to Heaven. What does Stairway to Heaven today represent for me? The idea that what the world needs is a utopia. What is a utopia? It is a place where there is no suffering, where all human needs are met, where all people come together in agreement, without a need for army or police, without a need for a court system or lawyers or judges, jailers, prisons, psych wards. It has been the dream of the left for a long time. Now, just give you a little background here. I will give you some facts. You connect them if you want. In the history of thought, in the history of ideas, you have the great religions, Judaism and Christianity arising in the midst of a pagan world. You have then from the East coming over people with Eastern thoughts that are interacting with Christianity and Judaism. And with Judaism, they create Kabbalism. In Christianity, they come up with Gnosticism. Now, in Gnosticism, salvation comes not through faith, but through knowledge. Okay, update into about 1100, 1150, whatever. You have a guy by the name of Joachim of Flora. Call him Joe of Italy, who comes up with a new interpretation for the book of Revelations, in which heaven comes to earth. All right, update a few more centuries. A crazy guy by the name of Auguste Comte comes up with an idea of the religion of mankind and the science that the society needs to be turned into science. And they take all these ideas from the past and stick them together, and then you have socialism and Marxism. And what they want to do is build a utopia. Okay, so what has happened to every attempt at utopia in the past? It's failed. Why has it failed? Because the ideas are false. How can I say that? How dare I say that? Because utopia is based on the idea that people can be programmed, that we don't have a human nature. That is shown to be, have been abundantly proven to be false a billion times in history, and yet the left refuses to accept it. All right, I don't know if that was coherent, but that's how we got to where we're at today. So we have a battle of between the people who are on the right or the left, people who are religious or not religious, people who think that politics has every answer and that the government needs to be a god, and those other people who want a smaller government and more freedom. That's where we're at. And these people who want government as a god are trying to politically neutralize and sterilize and remove and publicly bury and make a huge, huge lesson out of Donald Trump. We'll be right back. 7:18 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450. We'll be back. Stairway to Heaven. Utopia. Utopia, folks. Stairway to Heaven. Thank you.
it is New York History. It's the morning ride, getting you going for a feel-good Friday today. And what we know, Little Big Town's brand new album is about to hit the public on February 24th. It's called The Breaker. I am already in love with Better Man. And I think anybody who really heard it the first time could tell you the Taylor Swift
Okay, so we were talking about this extraordinary news conference that people use to then, of course, immediately say that the president is mentally ill. There is somebody who, and I wish I had all the stories from the beginning. I wish I could just, it would take me all show. I wouldn't even get through it, 1/1,000,000th of them, 1/10 of them, to read all the titles of all the stories that in which it was explained by some media expert or some talking head, some person who has a very high opinion of themselves, that the president is Julian Zelizer, CNN, who I looked him up. He's a historian. Trump's performance fuels worry about his presidency. Every single thing that Trump does, according to the media, has the symbolism of the fact that Trump is unfit. He's mentally, mentally incapacitated. He's mentally ill. He's a megalomaniac. Every single decision that he makes is proof that he's a tyrant, that he's building a foundation for destruction. It's similar to all of the people who said that Trump was going to fall, who one by one, their opinion fell. So there is one thing that you have to notice in all of this stuff is that all the experts have been wrong. But the thing that's so touching is just the extraordinary comfort and love that these experts give to their own opinion. It's not an opinion, it's a fact, you know. It's great to see all of these opinions just come apart at the seams, unseemly as they are. All right, here is something from CNN's Jim Acosta, not just fake news, but very fake news. Some of these statements are epic and will live forever from the president.
Record. We don't hate you. I don't hate you.
Okay.
Pass that along. But
ask Joe Serbia how he got his job.
If I may follow up on the questions that have taken place so far here, sir.
You do have other people, and your ratings aren't as good as some of the other people that are waiting.
Okay. Go ahead, Joe.
If I may ask, sir, you said earlier that WikiLeaks was revealing information about the Hillary Clinton campaign during the election cycle. You welcomed that at one
I was okay with it.
You said you loved WikiLeaks. At another campaign press conference, you called on the Russians to find the missing 30,000 emails. I'm wondering, sir, if you...
Well, she was actually missing 33, and then that got extended with a whole pile of... No, no, but I did... It was actually higher than that.
If I may ask you, sir, it sounds as though you do not have much credibility here when it comes to leaking, if that is something that you encouraged
okay.
during the campaign.
Fair question. Ready?
If I may ask you that.
No, no, but let me do one at a time. Do you mind?
Yes, sir.
All right. So in one case, you're talking about highly classified information. In the other case, you're talking about John Podesta saying bad things about the boss. I will say this. If John Podesta said that about me and he was working for me, I would have fired him so fast your head would have spun. He said terrible things about her. But it wasn't classified information. But in one case, you're talking about classified. Regardless, if you look at the RNC, we had a very strong, at my suggestion, and I give Reince great credit for this, at my suggestion, because I know something about this world, I said, I want a very strong defensive mechanism. I don't want to be hacked. And we did that. And you have seen that they tried to hack us, and they failed. The DNC did not do that. And if they did it, they could not have been hacked. But they were hacked and terrible things came in. And, you know, the only thing that I do think is unfair is some of the things were so – they were. When I heard some of those things, I picked up the papers the next morning. I said, oh, this is going to be front page. It wasn't even in the papers. Again, if I had that happen to me, it would be the biggest story in the history of publishing or the head of newspapers. I would have been the headline in every newspaper. I mean, think of it. They gave her the questions to a debate, and she should have reported herself. Why didn't Hillary Clinton announce that, "I'm sorry, but I have been given the questions to a debate or a town hall, and I feel that it's inappropriate, and I want to turn in CNN for not doing a good job."
And if I may follow up on that, just something that Jonathan Carl was asking you about. You said that the leaks are real, but the news is fake. I guess I don't understand. It seems that there's a disconnect there. If the information coming from those leaks is real, then how can the stories be fake?
The reporting is fake.
And I just want to ask,
Jim, you know what it is? It is the thing. The public isn't, you know, they read newspapers, they see television, they watch. They don't know if it's true or false because they're not involved. I'm involved. I've been involved with this stuff all my life, but I'm involved. So I know when you're telling the truth or when you're not. I just see many, many untruthful things. And I'll tell you what else I see. I see tone, you know, the word tone. The tone is such hatred. I'm really not a bad person, by the way. No, but the tone is such, I do get good ratings, you have to admit that. The tone is such hatred. I watched this morning a couple of the network, and I have to say, Fox and Friends in the morning, they're very honorable people. They're very, not because they're good, because they hit me also when I do something wrong, but they have the most honest morning show. That's all I can say. It's the most honest. But the tone, Jim, if you look, the hatred, sometimes somebody gets, well, you look at your show that goes on at 10 o'clock in the evening. You just take a look at that show. That is a constant hit. The panel is almost always exclusive anti-Trump. The good news is he doesn't have good ratings, but the panel is almost exclusive anti-Trump, and the hatred and venom coming from his mouth, the hatred coming from other people on your network. Now, I will say this. I watch it. I see it. I'm amazed by it. And I just think you'd be a lot better off. I honestly do. The public gets it, you know. Look, when I go to rallies, they turn around, they start screaming at CNN. They want to throw their placards at CNN, you know. I think you would do much better by being different. But you just take a look. Take a look at some of your shows in the morning and the evening. If a guest comes out and says something positive about me, it's brutal. Now, they'll take this news conference. I'm actually having a very good time, okay? But they'll take this news conference. Don't forget, that's the way I won. Remember, I used to give you a news conference every time I made a speech, which was like every day. Okay? No, that's how I won. I won with news conference and probably speeches. I certainly didn't win by people listening to you people, that's for sure. But I'm having a good time. Tomorrow they will say, Donald Trump rants and raves at the press. I'm not ranting and raving. I'm just telling you. You know, you're dishonest people. But I'm not ranting and raving. I love this. I'm having a good time doing it. But tomorrow the headlines are going to be, Donald Trump rants and raves. I'm not ranting at all. Go ahead.
I may just one more follow.
Should I let him have a little bit more? Peter, Sit down.
Just because of the attack of fake news and attacking our network, I just want to ask you, sir.
I'm changing it from fake news, though.
Doesn't that undermine?
Very fake news.
I know, but aren't you?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Real news, Mr. President. Real news.
And you're not related to our new.
I am not related, sir. No. I do like the sound of Secretary Acosta, I must say.
You know, I looked at that name. I said, wait a minute. Is there any relation there, Alex?
I'm sure you checked that out, sir.
No, I checked it. They said, no, sir. I said, do me a favor. Go back and check the family tree.
Okay. But aren't you concerned, sir, that you are undermining the people's faith in the First Amendment, freedom of the press in this country, when you call stories you don't like fake news? Why not just say it's a story I don't like?
I do that.
Call it fake news, you're undermining confidence in our news media.
Here's the thing.
Isn't that important?
I understand what you're saying. And you're right about that, except this. See, I know when I should get good and when I should get bad. And sometimes I'll say, wow, that's going to be a great story. And I'll get killed. I know what's good and bad. I'd be a pretty good reporter, not as good as you. But I know what's good. I know what's bad. And when they change it and make it really bad, something that should be positive, sometimes something that should be very positive, they'll make okay. They'll even make it negative. So I understand it. So because I'm there, I know what was said. I know who's saying it. I'm there. So it's very important to me. Look, I want to see an honest press. When I started off today by saying that it's so important to the public to get an honest press. The public doesn't believe you people anymore. Now, maybe I had something to do with that. I don't know. But they don't believe you. If you were straight and really told it like it is, as Howard Cosell used to say, right? Of course, he had some questions also. But if you were straight, I would be your biggest booster. I would be your biggest fan in the world, including bad stories about me. But if you go, as an example, your CNN, I mean, it's story after story after story is bad. I won. And the other thing, chaos. There's zero chaos. We are running. This is a fine-tuned machine. And Reince happens to be doing a good job, but half of his job is putting out lies by the press. You know, I said to him yesterday, this whole Russia scam that you guys are building so that you don't talk about the real subject, which is illegal leaks. But I watched him yesterday working so hard to try and get that story proper. And I'm saying, here's my chief of staff, a really good guy, did a phenomenal job at RNC. I mean, he won the election, right? Won the presidency. We got some senators. We got some all over the country. You take a look. He's done a great job. And I said to myself, I said to somebody that was in there, I said, you take a look at Reince. He's working so hard just putting out fires that are fake fires. I mean, they're fake. They're not true. And isn't that a shame? Because he'd rather be working on health care. He'd rather be working on tax reform, Jim. I mean that. I would be your biggest fan in the world if you treated me right. Now, I sort of understand there's a certain bias, maybe by Jeff or somebody, whatever reason. But, and I understand that. But you've got to be at least a little bit fair. And that's why the public sees it. They see it. They see it's not fair. You take a look at some of your shows, and you see the bias and the hatred. And the public is smart. They understand it.
Spectacular. What else can you say? The guy was rational. He was lucid. He responded. He even said, do a bad story about me, but do it honestly. And he said, I'll stand up and applaud you. Is Trump perfect? No. But the idea that the left is going to rise up like they've always done and through a lot of distortions and story bending and just falsifications, they're going to remove him. It's not going to happen. You can see that now. So let's work with the president. The president is not evil for being a Republican. The president is not evil for having conservative ideas. The president is not evil for not being liberal. But you'd never get that from the news. 7:35, we got some local news. We'll be right back. Stairway to Heaven, Utopia, Globalism. Globalism. All right, so I think the point was made, and like Marty called up and said, I wish this had been done. George W. Bush never stood up for himself. And now he goes up and he sees the Obamas, and he goes up and gives them a big hug. And I just think back to all the times that he didn't defend himself, which is fine if you don't want to defend yourself, if you, think you're Jesus and you don't have to defend yourself. That's fine. I accept that. But what about all the people that follow you? You're a political leader. What about all the people who change parties because they no longer believe in liberalism since 9/11? What about all of the celebrities and major people that came over and said, we need a stronger defense, et cetera? And George Bush, because I guess he was a pacifist or something, he doesn't do anything to defend these people, and they just get, totally brutalized. So this president turns it around. Now, the last president was treated like the next Dalai Lama. Hello, Dolly. Wasn't biased, right? Did you ever hear a comedian make fun of Obama? And so no matter what giant mistakes the Obama did, because they were either totally covered up or they were kind of, you know, shifted and shaped and restated. And, you know, Obamacare is the biggest mistake in history. The worst government policy, which apparently can't be changed. So it's like a birth defect, I guess. It's the worst thing in history and you can't change it. But it's like the elephant, man. But the media was the unmitigated cheerleader of a 2,000-page bill that they didn't even understand. When it was applied, it was bad. As time went on and more things got applied, because they delayed all this stuff, because Obama at least was smart enough to understand that if you put it all out immediately, his ratings would go down to zero when people saw the lies that he did. And still, so Obamacare basically is not just in intensive care, it's in hospice. It's in a coma waiting to die. And the media can't just stand up and speak the truth, because and it's really not even about Obama. To them, Obama was lovable, the first black guy. I mean, you can make whatever racist connections you want, but I think their support of him was actually racist in their own stupid backwards way. I think to treat somebody with different standards, positively or negatively, is racist, right? Because of their race, by definition. But they're not really fighting for Obama. They're fighting for an idea, and the idea is utopia. And utopia is globalism. Utopia is Obamacare. Utopia is we're going to build a perfect world. And really, you build a perfect world, who needs God, right? 7:42, but here is Katie Turd. Does this White House have any credibility left? I mean, it's been 20 days, so they've totally failed, right? Here we go.
Joining me now here in New York, Rick Tyler, MSNBC political analyst and former spokesman for Senator Ted Cruz. Also with us, Harold Ford Jr., former Tennessee congressman and professor of public policy at the University of Michigan's Gerald Ford School of Public Policy. You guys have got to get some shorter titles.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Anna Howard Shaw Day, I should say. Rick, first to you. Does this White House have any credibility left?
I think this is a real problem. I think this White House is in crisis. It is inconceivable to me that General Flynn would have called the Russian ambassador, first of all, without the president's knowledge. And if he was going to call the ambassador, the number one topic would have been sanctions. So he would have had to have been prepared to talk about sanctions. And if he was prepared to talk about sanctions, he doesn't have any authority to.
Flynn is old news, but I just wanted to let you see how that that started. But, you know, the president fought back against Flynn, and he went ahead and had that press conference. But so you get the guy that was fired from Ted Cruz's campaign, and you bring him into to defecate on the president and say it's all over. I don't want to say that I'm surprised, because I've seen this, and I told you, I had a friend who I worked in the radio business with, and we got together, good guy, but he launched into me on Trump. I didn't even honestly see it coming. And it was a ferocious assault. And I'm just sitting there thinking, I came here to relax and have some lunch. And so, you know, so anyway, the takeaway that I had from that is that it's personal to liberals. I mean, it's not like we're not friends now, but it was a very, very uncharitable. I mean, I'm not Trump's spokesman. I might have a show that borders on the conservative, or you know, heads in the direction of conservatism, libertarianism, or whatever. But if I was going to build a perfect candidate, it wouldn't be Trump. It would be some combination of Trump and Reagan and a few other people, you know. But I don't mind defending the guy to the extent that I can defend anything in particular. But this idea that you've got to destroy Trump to save the let me just lay this out for you. So I ask you this question. Is it true that we need to destroy Trump to save America? That seems to be the premise that the media is operating under. Here's CNN's Jim Acosta. The fix is in. And the president won't call on people that do fake news, apparently. So
president at the very end, which he ignored?
Yes, Wolf, guilty as charged. That was me. I tried to ask that question there as a...
Okay, Jim Acosta was called on. He's complaining that all of his questions, you know, so the president didn't take a number of questions in a row. He's important. Why? Because he works for CNN.
President Trump was leaving the room. It got quiet for a few moments. And when those moments come, you take full advantage. I tried to ask the president about his associates' contacts with the Russians during the campaign. He seemed to pause for a moment as if perhaps he wanted to answer the question. But then he turned to Prime Minister Netanyahu and left the East Room. Just to pick up on what you were saying a few moments ago. What President Trump said during this news conference about Michael Flynn being treated unfairly by the quote-unquote fake news media, that is not consistent with what his own officials said yesterday in the White House. The White House briefing room, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer said that the National Security Advisor, who is now gone, misled the Vice President of the United States about his phone conversations with the Russian ambassador. And so that is not something that Michael Flynn was treated unfairly about. He did this, and he had to pay the price. Now, the president is obviously very upset about leaks coming from the intelligence community or the law enforcement community to the news media, but these are questions that are being asked, and they're being answered by officials in this government.
All right, so anyway, I don't have any sympathy for CNN. If you repeatedly give out not just fake news, because, you know, I mean, it's not, I don't really think it's a matter of fake news, in my opinion. There is fake news that has been created, and my friend at lunch said that the right is the one that creates fake news. All right, fine. How do you explain the tone, what the president had mentioned, which we've all noticed, tone? It's, you know, more influential than words are attitudes. And, you know, they say that women are experts at body language and nonverbal communication, but if somebody asks you a question and they're sneering, what does that tell you? So CNN is, you know, here's the weird thing. You know, CNN was started by Ted Turner. He was actually a conservative when he started it. He got together with Jane Fonda, became a liberal. And, you know, the rest is history. He lost his network. Gave away $1 billion to the UN. What I mean, that talk about flushing money down the toilet. But all right, I've got a couple of clips for you for weather, and then we'll have local weather. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450. And this is from the Weather Channel, and then I have one from AccuWeather. Biggest storm to hit LA in a long, long time. It's part of the Pineapple Express.
At this point, it should be pretty obvious why folks in Southern California are saying rain, stay away, because we've had so many scenes like this playing out. And as we journey through the weekend, the concern, of course, is that now we've got Southern California in on the mix. Take a look at the areas of concern with flash flood watches up for Los Angeles, and that's going to continue through Saturday. We're talking rainfall rates that could be 1 inch per hour. Los Angeles anticipated to get 3 to 5 inches, a lot more in the foothills. So flash flooding, debris flows, as well as mudslides. Here's a look at the timing on all of this as we take you first stop through Friday afternoon. And then, of course, we've got additional rounds of rainfall as we go throughout the weekend. So in terms of the projected amounts, you can certainly see there's going to be a lot more coming for Northern and Central California. But as we take a look at Southern California, yeah, over these burn scar areas, you're not going to need much to produce flash flooding. Anywhere from a quarter of an inch to a half an inch per hour would certainly do the trick. And here's a look at the Los Angeles area forecast through Sunday.
I do have, well, I'll take a call. Thanks for the call. Call the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Tony.
Hey, Tony, just briefly, because I'm almost out of time on the show, but hit it and quit it.
Yeah, real quick. I'd like to encourage all the listeners to your show to back Ivanka Trump and do what I'm doing. I'm boycotting Marshalls, TJ Maxx, Macy's, and Starbucks as well. So, you know, we do have a voice. We do have some power. And I'm also avoiding transgender policy.
That sounds good. Thanks, Tony. Have a good weekend. All right, folks. Yeah, use your pocketbook. All right, here is from AccuWeather, biggest storm to hit in long. We've never, since I've been here, seen an, I think one day there was rain that was an inch an hour, but I think we only got an inch. Can you imagine that, getting 5 inches here, an inch an hour? and this is this is AccuWeather.
Folks in Southern California are preparing for heavy rain to push in today and continue into tonight. Sandbags are going out in some places that could potentially flood. Also, turn around, don't drown. That needs to be the rule today and through the weekend. It only takes 6 to 12 inches of moving water to sweep away your vehicle. Mudslides and landslides are also a concern. So the area that we are most worried about from around Interstate 80 all the way south along the 5 into the Los Angeles and San Diego area. We'll see major travel delays here. This is where the heaviest rain will come down. 3 to 6 inches of rain across the LA basin today into tomorrow. In addition to that, we already have saturated soils from a very wet season already, and we're going to have strong winds near the coast and for the higher elevations. So we're worried about the potential for downed trees. Of course, then power lines could come down. So take a look at the future cast. We've zoomed it in to the Los Angeles area for you, Santa Barbara, Santa Maria. This is 9 a.m. Pacific time. Notice the yellows and the oranges indicating rainfall rates that could exceed 1 to 1.5 inches per hour by noon, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock Pacific time. This is sitting right over Santa Clarita, Los Angeles, and Long Beach, and we continue to see the rain into tonight. So what are we talking about? Well, through midnight, rainfall totals here widespread in that 2 to 5 inch range. And again, there could be some numbers that are closer to 6 inches. Stay with AccuWeather for all the latest breaks.
Here's a little Henry Cho comedy.
Girl, my wife is from Arab, Alabama. Y'all ain't from Arab. Who's minding the store? Let me tell you about Arab. It's spelled A-R-A-B. They don't pronounce it Arab. They pronounce it Arab because the original name was Arad, but they misspelled it on the water tower. I can't make that up. It's like those guys going, I'm going to climb back up there. All right, we'll change the name of the town. And they did. Arab, Alabama, little bitty town, all white people. All the time. Except the day we got married. So just for fun, I took my whole family to Walmart. And we just started walking around. People started looking at us. They go, what are you staring at? We just bought this place. I learned this from my wife and my mother-in-law. You can say anything about anybody as long as you say bless their heart. My wife does it all the time. Look at that ugly baby. Bless its heart.
All right, running out of time for this, but we'll hit some Henry Cho in a coming show. Here is, thanks for tuning in. Here's the dedication for all you Utopia lovers. Stairway to Heaven. Have a great weekend. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces. Ciao. See you back in 2 days.
When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed with a word.